Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. How's everybody doing? I hope you're doing well. Best fans in America, great to have you on board with us. Kevin has a series of guests lined up today, but they're all bad, so we'll go with the ones I got.
All right, I'll make the call. Sorry. I know you guys made the trip up, but we can't use you.
They're out.
Thanks for stopping, Marco. Good luck next week.
The day you get Marco Andretti on the show will be the day that, you know. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to sit back and just listen to the hero worship questions.
Again, it'll be like the Chris Farley interviews. So, like, Marco, remember when you almost won the Indy 500? Yeah? That was cool. That was cool.
Well, I tell you what we have coming up today, and then we'll give you a little bit of a briefing as to what we're going to do maybe the rest of the week. Tanya Carpenter, you may not know her name, but she's a 44-year-old woman from suburban Boston who last week, I think it was Friday, out of nowhere, someone she knows or someone that she works with said, hey, I got a couple of tickets to the Red Sox. You want to go? Oh, my goodness, it's great. You know, and she's going to take her son. She goes to the game. You know, she doesn't really look to see what the tickets are. Well, it turned out the tickets aren't just good tickets. They would be perceived to be awesome and incredible tickets. They're right in the front rows at Fenway Park between the screen and the dugout. Brett Lowry's at the plate for Oakland and grounds out the second baseman in the process, breaks his bat, and it goes into the stands and hits her. Literally, nearly killing her. Literally. She has survived. She's at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital in Boston. She was just upgraded today to fair condition. It has brought up the issue of fan safety. Unfortunately, the 13-year-old girl in Columbus who was killed by the flying puck a few years ago caused the NHL and hockey teams in the AHL, ECHL, and so forth to put netting from the goal line to goal line all the way around, high netting, so the pucks don't fly into the seats on shots on goal. Fenway Park is like most ballparks in the majors. Netting goes so far, and after that, it's, you know, it's open, and you are warned that balls and bats may fly into the seats. Well, this is a case where this poor woman is sitting there at the game with her son, and literally, and it's not an exaggeration, is nearly killed. It was an awful scene. So the subject of safety in ballparks has come up. And with that in mind, Medler Field at Lebrano Park a few years ago took that typical width of a screen. And at the urging of Penn State and Tim Curley, expanded the screen to go beyond just to the edge of the end of the dugout. In other words, it encompasses all the dugout and goes to the end of it on each side. Initially here a lot of people complained about sight lines. I never did because, you know, when I'm broadcasting the game, I actually have the home plate is behind the screen for me. And once the ball gets past the mound, then it's actually clear for me. So I've got a real split. I've got that because the screen goes really across my sight line. So I understand what about people looking through the screen because when I'm looking at home plate, I'm looking behind the screen. Never a big deal to me. Yeah, I think it is helps out so much. Hand sweat, even if they're wearing batting gloves. Sweat, rainy night, something. Bats occasionally get let go of. Ball flies in, hits that screen, comes straight down. And believe me, the number of people that can now watch a game actually in comfort is very important compared to the way it used to be. I went to a Phillies game at Citizens Bank Park. They were playing the Padres. My good friend Patrick Scholl and I went to the game. And Patrick got us incredible tickets at the corner of the Phillies dugout on the home plate side of the dugout. So that's how close we were. Every right-handed batter that came up, I was on edge the entire time thinking a foul ball might come in my direction. Oh, and by the way, it's not going to be a looping foul ball. When a left-handed hitter was up, I relaxed a lot more because they're not going to be able to turn and hit it in that direction. And if they do a hit, it's going to be one of those high pop fouls. And it's no big deal. But a right-handed hitter could just foul into your direction, check their swing going your direction. A lot of different things that can happen. So to be honest with you, despite the fact of having in quotations, great seats, they were not great seats for me in watching that game. I felt I was on edge two-thirds of the time because of the right-handed hitters that were up. I would have preferred to have been a little bit further back, felt like you had a little more protection and so forth. And Citizens Bank Park, typical of Major League Parks, whether it's PNC, Fenway, Yankee Stadium, doesn't matter. The screen's just a certain width. It's no, you know, it doesn't cover that far. And now I think they have to take a long, hard look at extending screens all the way around. Jason Dombach is the president of the State College Spikes and is also the executive vice president and general manager of the Frisco Rough Riders in the Texas League in AA. He's going to join us in the next half hour to talk about the safety issue in baseball. Rob Cooper, Penn State's head baseball coach, is also going to talk about the safety issue, but we're going to talk about the College World Series and about the draft as well that took place last night and is, by the way, continuing today. Rounds 3 through 10 are this afternoon. And we're going to talk with Coop about that. Mark Brennan, Fight On State, is going to join us tomorrow. Pete Jensen, NHL.com, is going to join us tomorrow. Ross and Santa from MLB.com is going to join us on the Major League Baseball draft on Thursday. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on Friday. So that's what we have coming up this week, plus whatever Kevin musters up. Kevin?
Steven?
All right, that says it all, folks. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options. auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
One of those typical talk show questions was raised this morning. Now, obviously, I know we carry Dan Patrick, but Mike Greenberg, said that if no matter what the result of the final series is, that LeBron James should be named the MVP of the series. Now, do you realize how totally and completely irrelevant that is?
Well, there's only been two games anyway.
It doesn't matter. This is about rings. It's about hardware. This is about people winning championships. Hey, who cares who the MVP is? That's what gets me, is who cares who the MVP is? All right, who was the MVP of Super Bowl 48 a year ago when the Seattle Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos? Who was the MVP?
The corner.
No.
God, just like that, his name's gone.
No, you're with Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman, thank you. I couldn't think of that to save me.
No. It was Malcolm Smith, the linebacker.
Oh, I would not have guessed that. I didn't remember that.
That's on me, but that's great for him. I'm happy for him, whatever. That's fine.
Got a nice car, I'm sure.
But nobody cares. I mean, football is the most popular sport in this country. Here are some of your Super Bowl MVPs. Chuck Howley, Jake Scott, Fred Biletnikoff, Harvey Martin, Randy White, Richard Dent. Okay? Other Super Bowl MVPs. Otis Anderson, Larry Brown, Desmond Howard, Dexter Jackson, Dion Branch, Hines Ward, Santonio Holmes, Malcolm Smith. Really? Nobody knows who the MVPs of these games are. Fred Biletnikoff caught four passes in that game, didn't score a touchdown. Santonio Holmes, let's see. If I were to take Santonio Holmes off the Steelers for that game, would they still win? Yes. If I were to take Ben Roethlisberger off that team, would the Steelers still win? No, he was the best player on the field. Who cares? I mean, it is the relevancy of the argument is how you lose what is important. I already know LeBron James is the best player on the planet. All he is doing in this series is reinforcing he's the best player on the planet, regardless of the outcome. It's about which team wins. I don't care who the MVP is. Who won the Conn Smythe Trophy last year? Who's the MVP of the All-Star game? Derek Jeter was. Okay, but that was kind of an obvious. But who? Now, who's the MVP of the Pro Bowl? It is so, I mean, the individual awards have become just too, who cares stuff? It's about the team. It's about winning the hardware. Who's the champion? The other stuff is a nice reward, but it means nothing. At least to me, it means nothing. I could care less. Now, you're a fantasy player, so I guess individual stuff means everything to you.
Individual means a lot, yeah.
See, it means zero to me. All I care about is who wins the game.
But I don't get anything when they become the MVP or anything, so.
Yeah, but see, I care about who wins the game. I know that I'm an odd agent in this era, but I understand.
You're unusual.
But I don't care who the player of the year is, which, by the way, helps me tremendously when I vote, because I have to vote on a lot of things. I have to vote on National Player of the Year in basketball. I have to vote on all Big Ten, Big Ten Player of the Year, Big Ten football team, all Big Ten, you know, football player of the year, lineman of the year, all that stuff. I mean, I do have to vote on that stuff. So being impartial is not that difficult for me. Okay, fine. Check, check, check. Because I don't really, like, okay. I try to do the best job I can, be as fair as I can when I vote and so forth. But, I'll put some research in because I know it is important to these individuals that they are recognized as such. But at the same time, for me personally, I feel no personal stake in it at all. None. Yeah, I could care less if Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Tristan Thompson, or LeBron James is the finals MVP. I just want to see who wins the series. And based on the ratings, a lot of people do. 12.9 rating for game two. Huge. Way above last year, which is 10.3, and that was the Spurs and the Miami Heat. 10.3 last year, 12.9 this year. Believe it or not, Belmont stakes slightly down from last year, from a 12.9 to a 12.3. Stanley Cup playoff with American Pharoah as the lead-in, 4.8 rating, really good. Really good. And ESPN lost another property yesterday. British Open's going to go to NBC beginning in 2017. These are not short-term contracts. These are all long contracts. British Open goes to NBC, 12 years, starting in 2017. ESPN has thrown its lot in heavily on the NFL, smart. College football and the college football playoff, smart. The NBA, based on the ratings, smart, especially the NBA playoffs. I mean, that's where you really make hay. NBA regular season, you don't really get a ratings bump of anything for. But the playoffs, oh, yeah, you do. And the finals, you really do. And ABC has the finals, which is the ESPN property. That's where they've thrown their lot in. Regular season college basketball, postseason tournament college basketball, but they don't have the NCAAs. That is a CBS-Turner split, and that's a long-term contract. I think it was a 14-year deal. Major League Baseball, they're sort of in. They have the Sunday night game of the week. They've got Monday. They got Wednesday. But they don't have any postseason. They finally got some postseason NFL. They got Carolina and Arizona. And if they expand the playoffs, they might get, they might get a Monday night game out of it. Problem they've got with that is, quite simply, would it go head-to-head with the college football playoff? And by the way, the college football playoff, in case you're wondering, did not budge and go to January 2nd. They will be playing the two semifinals on New Year's Eve this year. I don't get it.
That's dumb.
I don't get it. I don't understand why they're so stubborn about the New Year's Eve thing.
My goodness, you could play those games on New Year's Day on a Saturday. Yeah.
Well, no, you can't. They're not allowed to go. Okay, here's the issue. In order to make this happen, the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl were both promised their New Year's Day spots at 5 and at 8:30. Regardless. So your choices are December 31st or January 2nd. So you play it on January 2nd, which you're correct would be a Saturday this year. Okay, I feel like I threw you a wrench there about the Rose Bowl Sugar Bowl thing.
It's too complicated. Just play it on Saturday.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you.
on this Tuesday. A lot to talk about today. Kevin is still researching the Super Bowl MVPs.
The one thing I do know about the Super Bowl is my favorite team won it a few times.
Six.
Right. Should have been eight. Matters.
No, brother. Be grateful for what you have.
I listen. Am I complaining? Did I say that I was upset that they didn't win eight? No, I said it should be eight. That's all.
There were two of them. They weren't the better team.
That's very true, but that doesn't mean anything to me.
In fact, there might be a third one.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Yeah, there's going to be a third one where the officials helped them out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, win that game, your guy's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think Roethlisberger will get there.
Oh, Roethlisberger will get there. He deserves it. All right, baseball ballpark safety. It's become an issue with the really awful accident with Tanya Carpenter, 44-year-old suburban Boston woman, who was hit in the head, the face, by the broken bat of Brett Lawrie. By the way, there are two kinds of wood that are used in bats. One is ash. The vast majority of Major League Baseball bats are ash. But some do elect to use maple as their bat of choice. They break more. And unfortunately, Brett Lowry's bat, maple. So with that in mind, let's bring in the Executive Vice President and general manager of the Frisco Rough Riders of the Texas League, who's also the president of the State College Spikes and was here for many years. It is great to hear the voice again of Jason Dombach. JD, welcome back.
Good to hear your voice, Steve. Looking forward to seeing you next week out at the ballpark.
Yeah, looking forward to that very much as the 10th season of Spikes baseball gets rolling. You, of course, will start a homestand at Frisco beginning of everybody here. Tell Dave Coulier, all of us here said hi. That's your big promotion at the end of the week. you extended.
You know what's funny about that promotion, real quick, Steve,
sure,
is that while you're referring to we're having a night here in Frisco called Full House Night, where we're going to pay tribute to the great late 80s, early 1990s sitcom Full House. We're bringing in Dave Coulier, who is Uncle Joey on the show, obviously a very popular program when it was on television. We did the exact same promotion last year in State College with Alfonso Rivero from Fresh Prince. We wore special jerseys,
right,
had him out to the ballpark. Everybody down here thinks, and all I did was just copy the exact same thing we did in State College, and now it's a genius promotion. So you don't have to be very smart in this business. You just have to be able to copy really well.
That's funny. That's what I've done my entire career now. You extended, Tanya Carpenter is the 44-year-old woman who just out of happenstance that day, quote, lucked into two tickets at Fenway Park and said, gee, I'll take my son. She goes to the game. Brett Lowry's bat breaks, hits her. She's now in fair condition. A week later, now is in fair condition. You extended the screens at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. What initiated the club and yourself to think that? And what complaints did you receive after you did it?
Well, actually, the initial conversations were brought to us by the university. Of course, Penn State-owned facility, the stakes of the tenants, the operators of the ballpark. And so we have this great collaborative relationship between the athletic department and the Spikes. And this idea was brought to us somewhere, I believe, in 2008, 2009. Back when Tim Curley was still the athletic director, I believe he was really one of the driving forces behind wanting to add this safety feature at the ballpark. And quite honestly, between myself, Chuck Greenberg, you know, we're both baseball purists, like you are and like many are, mm-hmm, like being able to sit right behind the dugout, enjoy the game, enjoy a perfect view, be really close to the action.
Right.
as you recall, there was an incident in the New York Penn League at the end of the 2009 season in Mahoning Valley where a young four-year-old boy by the name of Luke Holko was hit by a line drive in a game at Mahoning Valley. And the young boy suffered permanent damage, permanent disability because he was hit by a line drive, all because he was just out at the ballpark with his family, enjoying a great night at the ballpark, got hit, and his life has changed forever. And that, to be honest, that was one of the incidents that really changed my mind and sent us a little more down the path of being supportive of this project. And I believe it was in 2010, we actually extended the netting from the current position it's in a lot of ballparks to the home plate side of the dugouts, now to the far end, the outfield side of the dugout areas, therefore extending the netting over top of the dugouts. And to be honest, we heard some complaints from fans. We had folks that dropped their season tickets. We had folks that wanted to move. But all along, our strategy was to talk to our season ticket holders, not only with the Spikes, but also supporters of Penn State baseball, and just kept hammering home the safety aspect of this. And we continually showed the video and the news accounts of the incident in Mahoning Valley. We also did a lot of research on what happened in other sports. You remember in the National Hockey League, there was an incident where a puck went flying in Columbus.
13-year-old.
Struck, killed a 12- or 13-year-old girl.
13-year-old.
That's why there's netting.
Right.
Yep, that's why there's netting in all NHL arenas now. And not just in the NHL, but down to the AHL and the ECHL throughout the minor leagues. So we didn't want to react. You know, we wanted to be proactive in extending the netting and offering that safety feature to our fans at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. And to be honest, now that we're 4 or 5 years past the time that we extended that netting, I don't know that I've heard a single comment to the negative about it in 3 or 4 years. We dealt with some of it early on, but common sense and safety, I think, overwhelmingly prevailed. And if this happens at the major league level, whether it's because of this incident or another incident, you're going to have similar reaction. You'll have that faction of folks, the vocal minority, that will be opposed to it. But I think the great majority of fans will welcome it, because the reality of it is, Steve, as you know, baseball is the only sport, the only team sport, where you could go to the ballpark and end up in the emergency room just from being a spectator.
Right.
And that's a scary reality and something that I think the baseball industry needs to react better to.
Yeah, it was 13-year-old Brittany Cecil, who was the young woman who was killed at the Columbus Blue Jackets game years ago. And you're right, they put the netting up all the way around, which has now become an accepted practice by the fans in the National Hockey League. At your ballpark in Frisco, the Dr. Pepper ballpark, how far does the netting extend there? And if it doesn't extend as far as State College, will you consider extending it?
Well, because of our experience in State College, yes, it's something we will certainly consider. It currently is not. It's just like in most ballparks, including Fenway Park and all Major League baseball stadiums, the netting just goes to the home plate side of the dugout area. It scares me. you walk along the concourse, and this is a bigger ballpark. It's 10,000 seats. The action is very close. The dugout seating right over top of the dugout is very close. And you still see fans, young kids sitting there. They're not paying attention. They're on their cell phones. I even, most recently, our last homestand, walked out and I saw a young lady with a three-year-old, and I relocated them behind the netting behind home plate because I could see they weren't paying attention to the game. You know, you see those sort of things. People just don't pay attention a lot of times when they're sitting behind the dugout. And it's something I think we'll definitely consider because of our experience in State College. And I do believe that there will be an incident that will take place, whether it's this one or some other, that will force all major league ballparks and minor league ballparks to add netting, just like the NHL and the minor leagues of hockey had to.
There's also, of course, a base coach that was struck by a ball, and that led to coaches wearing helmets. Yeah. Yet if you talk to base coaches at any level in baseball, they aren't that concerned themselves about being hit by a ball because they're engaged in what's going on.
every one of them will tell you they're really concerned about the fans near the field because, as you point out, they're not engaged. And let's face it, baseball is a part of – now, Frisco's a higher level than State College, obviously. But baseball is, in the minor league level, especially in the lower minors, an excuse for everybody to get together at the ballpark, have a good time, you know, laugh a bit, have some food. You know, you're on the cell phone, the whole thing. And a lot of people aren't concentrating on the game.
Yeah, being a spectator at a baseball game probably requires the least amount of actual participation in the action on the field or, you know, the actual game itself in any sport. And it doesn't matter if it's college or it's Yankee Stadium. People just are used to coming out to the ballpark, enjoying a night at the ballpark, sitting there, talking to their friends, being on their cell phone. I mean, that's sort of the way you observe fans now at ballparks. They're not locked into the game. They're talking, they're texting, and it's scary. So, you know, I think as much as ballparks can do and facilities can do to secure the netting and extend it, I would totally support that. And that's a stance that probably 5 or 6 years ago I wouldn't have had.
Right.
But I think that when you talk to the majority of people and you've got young grandchildren, Steve, I guarantee you, if you get tickets to a game, I know where you're sitting, right? You're behind the net. You're not going to be behind the dugout.
No question.
And you just hope that most people use their common sense, that if you sit in those areas where you're unprotected, you're paying attention to the game.
No question about that. What has the experience in Frisco been like for you so far?
It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. Certainly missed Pennsylvania and missed my time in State College. Had 6 wonderful years there, day to day. Still involved with the Spikes, but certainly not living there anymore on a day to day basis. And spent my entire life in Pennsylvania. So, learning a new culture, learning a new way of life. But it's been great because there's so much untapped potential with our franchise here in Frisco. Led AA in attendance every year that the franchise has been around since 2003, but there's still significant room to grow. And living in the Frisco area, which is, for those that don't know, it's about 25 minutes north of Dallas, so it's a suburb of Dallas. Mm-hmm. But it's really become the hub of sports in North Texas. The Cowboys are moving their training facility right across the tollway from our ballpark in 2 years. FC Dallas of Major League Soccer calls Frisco home. The Dallas Stars call Frisco home. Their practice facility is right next to our ballpark. So living in an area that's exploding with growth and just living in a new area has been a lot of fun. And, you know, certainly picking up the way of life here in Texas, it's a lot different than I'm used to in Pennsylvania. It's 95 degrees here today, so it's going to be a hot summer, a lot different than I'm used to, but I've really enjoyed it. And really having a lot of fun. Chuck Greenberg bought the team, still owns the Spikes, of course, and so a lot of the things that fans have come to know and love in State College really haven't been brought here to Frisco. So we're doing things like giveaways and fireworks and promotional activities and bringing Dave Coulier to the ballpark and having a marketing program that really talks about the fun and family atmosphere that minor league baseball brings. These are things that hadn't necessarily been done here despite the success of the franchise. So it's a combination between a successful franchise and a great market with a lot of untapped potential, and that's really the reason why this opportunity appealed to myself and to Chuck.
There are common threads in minor league baseball, but Frisco is a double-A level team like Altoona where you cut your teeth. Are there certain elements that you learned in Altoona at the double-A level that you now apply to Frisco?
Oh, absolutely. We talk about it every day. And that's what's unique about Chuck and I. We've had the opportunity to work in the smallest double-A market, which at least I think it is, in Altoona.
It is.
And now the largest double-A market just outside of Dallas. So what's really neat is all of those fundamentals that we always would talk about in State College and in Altoona, we're bringing here, you know, just the connectivity with your season ticket holders, doing little things, building relationships one at a time, all those things you have to do in a smaller market, that if you just do that in a larger setting, it's going to pay off even more exponentially. So those are the things that really excite us. And I'll tell you, Chuck having had the experience at the major league level with the Texas Rangers, talks about it all the time. You know, everything that they did when he got to the Rangers in 2010, off the field and on the field, when it comes to fan experience and treating sponsors and clients the right way, he learned in Altoona and just brought it to the major league level. So all these things that we do in smaller places, they can work in the larger places. You just got to try it. And that's what's been really fun. Area and everything that we do on a daily basis, we learned in Altoona and learned in State College, and it's really starting to pay off.
As excited as you are with the new challenge in Frisco and everything that goes with it, what does it mean to you to come back to State College next week for what will be the beginning of the 10th season of Spikes Baseball?
Well, I'm really proud of the job that our front office has done there. This was a very challenging offseason with a lot of changes. You know, myself moving on and some folks moving into newer roles, Scott Walker, our new general manager, Dan Petrozolo, who has been with the franchise for a long time, moving into the assistant GM role, Matt Hoover, who's been with the Altoona Curve for many years, come over to join us with the Spikes. So new opportunities for a great group of guys who are experienced and definitely deserve the opportunity to move up and have new challenges. So I'm really proud of the job they've done to build the excitement for opening day number 10 in State College. And I'm really excited. I can't wait to get back there. I will say, no matter how much I love what I'm doing now and the ballpark we have here, which is great, there's just nothing like a night at Medlar Field at Lebrado Park. I can tell you that. And you know this, too, from traveling around. I mean,
sure.
The setting that we have there, the great fan support, the beautiful facility, the beautiful ballpark, cleanliness, the friendliness of the staff. Those are the things that I miss, and that's why I can't wait for opening day next Friday.
JD, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you next week, as a matter of fact, getting you back up here in the State College. Jason Dombach, Frisco Rough Riders General Manager, Executive Vice President, President of the State College Spikes, on baseball safety. Next half hour. We're going to have Rob Cooper, Penn State's head baseball coach, talking about some of the same topics as well as the draft and also touching upon the College World Series. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. It's the Kevin Herr Clam Bake, as only he can do it, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Rob Cooper, Penn State baseball coach, next half hour to talk about the College World Series, baseball safety for fans, and also the draft. The Phillies took another shortstop, who in the long run won't be playing shortstop for them, I don't think.
But, question is, will he ever be playing in the majors?
Yeah, but you know, you could say that about any of these guys.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, you can say that about any of these guys. Let me look at the Aiken kid that was the 17th overall pick by Cleveland. He was the number one overall pick by Houston a year ago. He elected not to sign. That's why he's back in this year's draft. But you know what happened to him between that decision and now? In March, he had Tommy John. You know, Cleveland still took him in the first round yesterday. But he's coming off Tommy John. Now, he should be fine. But things do happen. You know, some teams have drafted extremely well, but they've had high draft picks. Andrew McCutchen was the second overall pick. Gerrit Cole, who's the ace of their staff, was the first overall pick. Jameson Taillon, Tommy John. Tony Sanchez, backup catcher, fourth overall pick. Neil Walker's a first-round pick. Pedro Alvarez was the second overall pick. Tony Watson was a fifth-round pick. I mean, they've had high draft picks, and they've drafted well. David Price of the Tigers, first overall pick. He has pitched like a first overall pick.
See, I never really got excited about the Major League Baseball draft because it takes so long for a guy to make an appearance and make an impact at the major league level. It's very much, as anybody that follows sports knows, very much different than the NFL draft where these guys are going to be playing right away.
But it's actually, but now you've taken it a little bit out of context. All right? If you are a fan that goes to Williamsport Crosscutter games or to State College Spikes games, and Williamsport gave Sinicropi right up the road. Those fans are absolutely interested in what's going on in the draft. Why? Because some of those players are going to end up there this summer.
That's very true, and I forget about that quite a bit, that a lot of those guys are going to come up to Williamsport in the Philly system anyway.
But if it's a Little League player, you're all over it.
Well, I'm more familiar with those guys.
Oh, so tell us a little bit about the Sonoma, California Little League team.
No, I didn't say I was familiar with guys from across the country.
I'm not sure you know your own team.